I like doing sermon series because then you know what to expect when you come. And so you all know what today's sermon is. If you've been kind of tracking, you would know. So we are on the fourth of seven of Jesus' I Am statements. And we are going to read from the Gospel of John today, chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. And if you would like to join in your pew Bibles, we're on page 872. John chapter 10, starting with verse 11. Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. So, do any of you have a hero in your life? Can you think of a hero that you might have in your life?
Yeah, my dad.
Your dad.
Sister.
Sister and mother. Okay. So, by definition, a hero is someone who puts their own life at risk for the greater good of others, often through acts of courage, strength, or ingenuity. And heroes can also be people with special abilities, achievements, or qualities who are looked up to as role models. So as I pondered this question myself, I first thought of some awesome people in my life who have helped me out, you know, when I've been in a pinch, like, you know, when the car is broken down and the kind person that comes along and helps you. Or, you know, sometimes I'll be gifted a meal on just the perfect day when I didn't have time to cook a meal, right? And it's just such a sweet encouragement to me. And so as I thought about those, I thought, well, those people, they didn't necessarily risk their lives for me, right? But they were super generous and gracious and kind, and all of that was an encouragement to me. Especially during COVID, but honestly, this is true all the time. Our medical personnel, our essential workers, they were hailed as heroes, right? We had the signs out in our yards and everything. And they put themselves at risk, especially, I suppose, during COVID when you know, folks were dying. They put themselves at risk to treat those who were sick, to be the one that was making sure the grocery stores were open and the trucks were moving and all of that. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So this again is the fourth in the series of seven I Am statements. I'm going to go back through and just share the first three because we learn by repetition, right? From John 6:35, we read, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And last week, John 10:9, I am the gate or the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. So we know that each of these statements, Jesus is proclaiming his divinity because he's using the name I am, which is God's personal name. Okay, so he starts these phrases with I am. He's equating himself with God. But each of these are teaching us something about Jesus, right? I mean, we're going to talk a lot about sheep and shepherds, but I don't think that Jesus necessarily wants us to learn how to be a sheep herder. I think he wants to help us learn more about him by using the metaphors that he uses. So I am the bread of life. Jesus fills, he satisfies, he gives us spiritual nourishment, and this bread gives us life, right? He says, this is life, and it fills us up. I am the light of the world, that Jesus provides light and guidance and direction for us. We can enjoy the light of life. Again, he uses that word life along with this metaphor because Jesus overcame the darkness of sin and death. And last week, I am the gate. Jesus reminds us that he is the entryway, right? He gives us access to God. Jesus doesn't just like stand at the door or guard the door. He is the door to salvation. So salvation comes through Jesus. And just as all doors are a transition from one place to another, we're one room to another, we're inside or outside, whatever that is, Jesus provides us that point of transition from lost to saved, from death to life. So today's scripture follows right on the heels of where we were last week. And so it's really a continuation of last week's interaction between Jesus and the Jewish people who were in Jerusalem. So as background, he's just restored sight to a man who was born blind. And the Pharisees just happened to kick that particular guy out of the synagogue because of his association with Jesus. And so Jesus, again, he uses this kind of ever familiar metaphor of shepherds and sheep to share his identity with those who are listening. And we broke that down quite a bit last week with the shepherds and the sheep, but we're going to dig into it just a little bit more this week. So starting with the shepherd, here's what we've learned about the shepherd. The shepherd's sole purpose is for the sheep, the flock, to flourish, right? The shepherd's going to protect, going to provide security for the sheep. The shepherd is going to guide the sheep, going to walk ahead of the sheep, and the sheep will follow. And probably the best thing we learned about shepherds was that the shepherd knows the sheep and the sheep knows the shepherd. And when we then translate that into our relationship with Jesus, that is so sweet that he knows us and we get to know him, right? So these are kind of the literal roles of the shepherd, right? Day in and day out, their job is to make sure that the sheep, the flock, is well. And then Jesus goes on to today, so he adds this additional component to it. He says, today, that the shepherd will literally lay down his life for the good of the flock. So the shepherd will put himself in harm's way in order to protect his sheep. The shepherd stands ready to do heroic acts on behalf of his sheep. And the shepherd will do whatever it takes for the sheep to flourish. Now, today, Jesus compares that to the hired hand, who is much less committed to the flock. When danger comes, the hired hand is going to run the other way, kind of looking out for himself first before the sheep, right? And the hired hand will not put himself in harm's way because he has no ownership. And so the commitment just isn't there. So the relationship between sheep and the hired hand is much different than the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd. So if any of you have ever owned a business or maybe managed a workforce, you know the difference between owning the business and working for the business, right? The employees, the hired hands, they can like easily walk on or off the job. If there's something more important or more fun or more enticing than work, they can just go and do it, right? And if the work conditions, maybe the weather, the predators, the threats, whatever that is, becomes too great, there's little incentive for the hired hand to stick their neck out too far. Because after all, they don't own the sheep. And last week, Jesus contrasted the shepherd with the thieves or the robbers or the bandits. So today he contrasts the shepherd, and today he calls himself the good shepherd, with the hired hands. So in both cases, Jesus is making that comparison between his relationship with the sheep and those that might be false teachers, those who, anybody who basically just leads people astray or away from Jesus would be considered those thieves or those robbers or those hired hands. And we know that sometimes those thieves and those robbers, they come kind of cunningly. Sometimes they come very overtly, and they're just here to rob you, right? But they come obviously with wrong motives. So when things are not going well, the hired hand, he's not going to stick around, right? Anytime you add personal risk to the equation, they are quick to abandon their post. We had this awesome training on Monday evening here. We have the AED, which is right outside this door right here. If you haven't seen it, just walk out this way. And I'm so thankful for the board and the trustees that said yes to providing that. And so we sat here to be trained on using it. And you know what my first thought was? Well, I hope somebody else knows how to do this, because I don't want to have to do that, right? I don't want to be the hero, right? I'm going to run. So it was kind of scary to me. But how awesome it is that we have folks that say, yes, I'm going to jump in. I'm going to start the CPR. We're going to get the AED out and all of that, right? But that's just an example of sometimes we don't want to be a hero, right? We don't want to put our life on the line. But in contrast, Jesus deeply cares about his people. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He will not abandon us, and there is nothing we can do to cause him to love us any less. And Jesus says, not only am I the shepherd, but I am the good shepherd, right? So what does this word good mean here? It speaks of beauty. It speaks of a certain charm, which makes it lovely. So other potential matches for the way this word was translated into English are beautiful, handsome, excellent, precious, commendable, admirable. And reading from William Barclay's commentary, he says, sometimes in a village or town, people speak of the good doctor. So they're not only thinking of the doctor's efficiency and skill as a physician, but they're thinking about how that doctor interacts with his patients, how the sympathy, the kindness, the graciousness, which the doctor brings, and which in turn brings friendship with those out in the village. So when we consider Jesus as the good shepherd, we get all the qualities of the shepherd. We get the protection, we get the care, we get the commitment, the leadership, the relationship. But Jesus is so much more than just an overseer. Jesus is also good. He is kind and gracious and winsome. Jesus is the good shepherd. And then we turn to the sheep. And last week we identified ourselves as the sheep. And the sheep, honestly, they do get kind of a bad rap about how helpless and defenseless they are. Maybe that they lack a little bit of intelligence. And while there might be some truth to some of those descriptors for the sheep, and we might not like those particular descriptors we applied to us, the nature of sheep that makes them dependent on a shepherd or a caretaker makes the sheep a really good metaphor for people. So that makes good sense. And it is a reminder that we need a Savior. Left on our own, we can easily wander. We can be led astray, always looking for those greener pastures or those pleasures that are out there. We can be unaware of danger and even that the enemy is cunningly trying to lure us away. We can be so quick to follow the crowd and run wherever the herd is running. Now, there are a few stories out there of domesticated sheep who went missing and lived on their own for a few years. And the problem is, depending on which breed of sheep it is, but if it's a sheep that has been bred for wool production, their wool continues to grow. And if you're out there on your own, you don't have a shepherd to care for you, then this wool gets out of control. And the sheep puts himself in danger, not just from the weather or the predators, but literally his wool endangers his life. So I want you to meet Chris, the runaway sheep. So this story comes from Australia in 2015, where hikers caught sight of an overgrown sheep who was carrying nearly 90 pounds of extra wool. So obviously the sheep was struggling under the weight of his own coat. He could barely walk. His hooves were very damaged and he could barely see. And so Chris, he got noticed by these hikers. He was rescued by the RSPCA. I assume that's the Australian version of the SPCA. And so they brought in an expert sheep shearer who began removing the wool. Did you shear your own sheep, Dean? Or did?
That is one reason we don't have
it. Understood. How about you, Betty? Did you ever shear sheep? Yes? Yes? Oh, okay. Okay. So I don't know the backstory of how Chris got separated from his flock and how he survived on his own. Evidently it was about 5 years or more. But when Chris got sheared, he went from 186 pounds to 97 pounds. Yeah. By the time Chris was found, his life really was endangered, and the shearing of his wool and obviously the care of the rescuers no doubt saved his life, and it resulted in the quantity of the wool that would supposedly be enough to make 30 sweaters. Now, I also, if I got the story straight, they ended up selling the wool to a museum. So somewhere in this world, you probably have to go to Australia, you can go find Chris's wool. The sheep is the metaphor for us, right? And when we stray from the shepherd or simply choose to carve our own path and avoid the oversight of the shepherd, we end up carrying burdens that we were not meant to carry. And those burdens can weigh us down and make life really challenging. Sometimes we can't see clearly and we can barely get one foot in front of the other. And the process of shearing Chris the sheep was not easy. You can see a little bit over in the picture on the right that there are some dings and wounds and bleeding after the shearing. But without that shearing, Chris would have died. Jesus wants to be our shepherd. And sometimes the shepherd needs to do some shearing that might not feel so good at the time. But afterward, you're going to be in a much better place. And so I just want to pause here and interject a question for you to consider. Is there anything that you need to let go of and let be sheared from your life? In just 7 verses, Jesus tells us 5 times that he, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. Shepherds certainly did risk their lives for the sheep out in the pastures, But as Jesus is talking about this, and in about 6 months, he is going to the cross. And so Jesus is speaking very literally of what is to come. Jesus will lay down his life for his followers, both literally and willingly. Jesus laid down his life on his own accord, and likewise, he took it back up through the resurrection. And we know that there's going to be a ton of misunderstanding about the cross, about Jesus' death on the cross when it happens. But he wants to make it crystal clear that he chose to give his life. When we think about the cross, Judas betrayed Jesus, right? The soldiers came and arrested Jesus. Jesus was in trial in front of the Sanhedrin. Pontius Pilate, he tried to wash his hands of this whole ordeal. The Roman soldiers, they were the ones who stripped him and beat him, and they were the ones that nailed the nails in and hung him on the cross. They were the ones that observed him on the cross until he had breathed his last, and they put the spear through his side. And so we could really easily kind of point our fingers at any one of those individuals and say, you were responsible for the death of Christ. But Jesus says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down on my own accord. Jesus was in control. His sovereignty reigned even when it seemed like everybody else was in control. Jesus gave up his life. It was not taken from him. Jesus offered his life in our place. Jesus offered his life for all people. As we read a little further there, and I think it's verse 16, where Jesus says, there's these sheep, and then there's the sheep that are not of this flock, right? And he's talking about the Gentiles. He was speaking with a Jewish audience, but he wanted to make known it's not just Jewish folks that are going to come into this fold. It's for the Gentiles as well. And why did he do that? Why did he do that? For the sake of the sheep, for you and I. As we begin just working ourselves toward our time of communion, I'm going to share a devotional that came from an author. His name is John Corson, and his devotional book is titled A Day's Journey. And he writes this as he reflects on our scripture today. He says, as an Old Testament believer, if you wanted to be touched by God, you would bring a lamb into the temple. There would be priests who would carefully inspect it and scrutinize it for any spot or blemish. It was not the worshiper who was judged. It was the lamb. And herein lies a fabulous truth. You see, I can be guided by the Father tonight. I can be led by the Father tomorrow. I can expect to receive abundant life. I can look forward to his blessings upon me and my family. I can trust he will anoint my head with oil, and that he will take care of the predators who are coming out to get me, that he will lead me through the valley of darkness. I can expect a table set before me. I can expect to truly fellowship with God, not because of my spotlessness, but because the Lamb has been inspected and found perfect. I can receive blessings tonight, not because I've attended church, not because I've read 15 chapters in my Bible, not because I didn't watch television. I enjoy the blessing of God upon my life solely because of the Lamb. I lay down my life, Jesus said. He didn't say, you better lay down your life if you expect to be blessed. And while it is true that he would call us into discipleship and take up our cross daily and follow him, my entry into the presence of the Father is not based upon who I am or what I do or what I don't do. It's based upon who he is and what he did on the cross. The shepherd became a lamb that we, the sheep, might know the shepherd. I thought those were really good words that were written, and a good reminder. It is not who I am, what I do, or what I don't do, but it is solely based upon Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. We might not think that we've had a personal life-saving hero in our lives, but if you claim Jesus as your Savior, you've got a hero. A good shepherd who became the sacrificial lamb, who took our sin upon himself so that we could be saved. And the awesome part of that is that we then get to stand before God holy and blameless because Jesus already carried our sin. He already atoned for our sin. I'm going to invite us to turn in our hymnals to page 331. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. And as we prepare ourselves for communion, that is not 331, 338. Oh, thank you for fixing it. 338. Don't just let your eyes go across the page and sing the words. Make this a prayer to Jesus today. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Verses 1 and 2.
We pray. We celebrate the risen Christ by coming to this table today. We anticipate with joy being in the presence of God's Son, the living Christ. We come to claim our heritage as God's people, chosen and filled with mercy. The bread of heaven, the cup of hope, are ours. We have tasted that the Lord is good. Teach us, God, as we go from the table nourished by this spiritual food, that we must act mercifully toward others. Teach us, God, as we go from this table, knowing that we are your chosen people, that all are your chosen people. Teach us, God, as we go from the table, that you are called out of darkness to proclaim your light and your message. Amen. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Our hearts and voices together in praying the prayer that Jesus taught to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into temptation, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to read the next two verses, verses 19 and 20, where we left off earlier. From John chapter 10 says, "Again, the Jews were divided because of these words. Many of them were saying, 'He has a demon and is out of his mind. Why listen to him?' And others were saying, 'These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" So once again, we find that Jesus' words brought division. Some of the Jews listening, they just thought Jesus was crazy, right? He was like just insane. He was going mad. But others disagreed and believed the words of Jesus, or at least kept an open mind that maybe Jesus was who he said he was, despite their ability to understand everything. And Jesus teaches us a principle in the Gospel of Luke that goes like this. He says, "The truth always divides people into two groups, those who believe it and those who don't." The Good Shepherd invites us into the fold, into a relationship with him. Like I say, I don't think Jesus wants us to learn more about sheep. Y'all can go out and buy a couple sheep if that's inspired you to do that, but I don't think that's what he wants us to get from this. He wants us to know that we have an invitation into the flock. We have a good shepherd who cares for us, who nourishes us, who will fill us up and satisfy, who gives us life. Some assume that the Christian faith is just a religion. They don't understand that our faith leads to a relationship, and it's not for them, right? Their history is too dark, or they have too much shame in the present, whatever it is. They don't want their life interrupted by a set of moral rules. They do not need a shepherd. They do not need an overseer. Or maybe some who kind of compare themselves to others and think, you know, I'm not that bad, really. I'm mostly good. I do good things. And so, again, they don't see their need for a savior. But on the other side of those are the ones who believe the truth taught by Jesus. And we can find the good shepherd comforting. We are cared for, protected. We are secure in Christ. Jesus loved us so much that he voluntarily laid his life down for us. He is a good shepherd, a loving, kind, gracious shepherd. And he knows you, and he wants to be known by us, right? And the beauty of Jesus draws us to him, to his word, to prayer, to our communication with him. And his sacrifice just causes us to joyfully live for him, to obey him, to trust him, right? Because he has done this for us. There's a story that was titled, Do You Know the Shepherd? And two men were called on in a large classroom to recite the 23rd Psalm. One was a published orator trained in speech technique and drama, and he repeated the psalm in a powerful way. And when he finished, the audience cheered and even asked for an encore that they might hear his wonderful voice again. And then the other man stood up, who was much older, and repeated the same words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But when he finished, no sound came from the large class. Instead, people sat in a deep mood of devotion and prayer. And then that first man, the orator, stood to his feet and he said, I have a confession to make, he said. The difference between what you have just heard from my old friend and what you heard from me is this. I know the psalm, but my friend knows the shepherd. Jesus wants to be your good shepherd. If you feel like you're carrying burdens around today that you don't need to carry, let him take care of those. He wants to carry that for you. If you've never received that invitation into the fold, it's a simple yes to Jesus being my Savior. And I'm going to invite all of us to just reflect on all of us together by responsively reading the 23rd Psalm. So, Isabel, if you can help me out here. I'm going to ask if you can read the words that are in bold, which is the scripture of the 23rd Psalm. The good shepherd will meet your deepest needs.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
The good shepherd will restore your soul.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
The good shepherd will guide and direct your life.
He leads me in paths of righteousness.
The good shepherd will protect you from evil.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and staff they comfort me.
The good shepherd will fill your life with joy.
You prepare a table before me by the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And the good shepherd will give you eternal life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Let's stand now as we prepare to close our time together.